2009. Your Harley ought to be mine in 2009. Amen. That worked out all right, didn't it? Amen. Luke chapter 22. I'll not be long. I've always wanted to preach 20 minutes. I've never done it, but I've always wanted to. And this is number 6 in my 7th message of outline. Amen. I've used the other 5, so I'm on number 6. Luke 22. I want to begin reading in verse 47, if you'd stand with me. The Bible says, "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And they which were about him saw what would follow. They said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them, who was Simon Peter, one of them smote the servant of the high priest, who was Malchus, and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far? And he touched his ear and healed him. Our Father, we bow tonight to thank you again for all the wonderful preaching, the wonderful singing. What a great choir job tonight. Lord, thank you for all the things that's going on here tonight. The touch of God, we thank you for it, that has been demonstrated. Now, Lord, we pray tonight that you might one more time anoint us with your power and help us. Pray if there's anybody here tonight, Lord, that's undone, unsaved, tonight will be that hour that they trust you as Savior. And then, Lord, for us who are saved, I pray tonight, God, you'd help us to slip up to the foot of the cross and surrender and submit ourselves unto thee. Lord, we are grateful to you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to look back in verse 51. Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched the ear and healed him. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on the Lord can fix it. I thought about the Lord touching his ear. I made statements down through the years. I didn't know how the Lord done that. I didn't know if he created an ear and put it on him. But then just plainly read the scriptures that the Lord touched his ear. I don't know if he picked it up or somebody, but the Lord touched his ear and healed him. The Lord fixed it. Everything in our lifetime has to be fixed. I preach a message on broken things. Tonight we live in a society of broken things. We've just experienced AIG, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae. Now the pornography crowd wants a bailout. That's what it said on the news. I just heard tonight that Northerners bail out to the south. That's Florida. Keep going through Georgia. Amen. But everything needs to be fixed. In factories, we have down days to repair machinery and things. Around the home, things have to be fixed. I've been in evangelism now. This coming April will be 22 years, the Lord willing. When I'm gone, things break down. When I go home, there's things that have to be fixed. But tonight, we're living in a society where spiritually things are broken. But there's hope. The Lord can fix it. Amen. You stop and think about it. Now the word fix, F-I-X, is not found in the Bible. You look for it all through the Word of God, you'll not find the word fix. But the word fixed is found four times in all the Bible. I think it's a marvelous thing where it's found. It's found, first of all, in Psalm 57, verse 7. Notice what he said in Psalm 57, 7. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Isn't that a marvelous thing? He said, I will sing and give praise. That's telling me somehow that when your heart is fixed, you will sing and give praise. The psalmist said, oh God, my heart is fixed. Can you ever remember your heart getting fixed? See, when we're born physically, our heart is broken. But may I tell you something really? God's not in the heart repairing business. He's in the heart replacing business.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He just takes the old one out and put a new one in. You say, how? I don't know. I don't know, but he does it. And when he does it, your vocabulary and everything else about you change. Your character changes. Everything about you when your heart is fixed. The psalmist cried out in Psalm 57. I don't know which cup he drank that of, so I'm not going to trust either one of them. He said, my heart is fixed. Look in Psalm 108, verse 1 again. He said, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Somehow there's something about your heart being fixed and praising and singing glory to God. Notice again, if you will, in Psalm 112 and verse 7, where he says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. Amen. Somehow I see there, when you're trusting in the Lord, is what makes your heart fixed. And then one of the most solemn places that's found in the Bible is in Luke chapter 16. Notice with me in verse 26, where he says, you know, this is the disposition of Lazarus and the rich man. May I tell you, Luke 16 is not a parable. Luke 16 is a real account of a man dying without God and spending eternity in hell. Now, I know some places call it a parable, but Jesus, every time he spoke a parable, he said it was a parable. And in a parable, a proper names are not used. I know the rich man's name not used, but Lazarus is. So this is not a parable. Notice what he says when he uses that word fixed in verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. God so arranged it, so they that would come from there to us can't, and from us, from here, who would go from here to there cannot, because of a great gulf. I'm glad God put a great gulf there, aren't you? The Lord can fix it. When I thought about this, that word fixed means repaired. It means mended. It means restored. It means corrected. It means adjusted. It means put in order. It means to be fastened. It means secured. May I tell you tonight, when I bowed before a holy and righteous God and pleaded guilty for being a lost sinner, He done all those things to me. He fixed me. He fastened me. He secured me in Him.
Amen.
If I can say anything tonight, I want to say, oh God, my heart is fixed.
Yes.
I don't know about anybody else's heart in here. I think some of them are fixed, but I know mine is. You say, how do you know so for sure your heart is fixed? I was there when He fixed it. Amen. Amen. I was right there when it happened. The Lord can fix it. It doesn't matter what kind of condition you're in. The Lord can fix it. I want to say, first of all, the Lord can fix the sin problem. You know something tonight, that worldly events that happen and things that happen in our world today, the world does not recognize it as sin. Things that happen, for example, some events that have happened recently, the world does not recognize it as sin. For example, 32 college students shot by one young man. Hey, they don't recognize that as sin. They recognize it as a mental thing. They psychoanalyze it and come up with a mental problem. Of course, anybody that would shoot anybody has got a mental case unless it's for their own protection. You got the difference? Somebody asked me the other week, said, Brother Father, why do you leave them two little lights on in your house? I said, well, I can shoot somebody better. I mean, if it's dark and they come in, I can't see how to shoot. I know I'm in New York. And I know they outlaw guns and talking on cell phones while you're riding. I forgot all about it. Then I was riding up I-86 and my phone rang and I picked it up and started talking. Just happened to look in the mirror and saw those lights on top of that vehicle. And I remembered, I said, bye. Amen. I was afraid he'd have searched my car and I'd have been in deep trouble. But the Lord can fix it. I thought about a wife shooting a husband in the bed with a shotgun. The world doesn't call that sin. They call it by a medical term of being something wrong with you mentally. What about a mother that stabs her baby 175 times? I can't comprehend these things, can you? Were all events that have taken place, some events that have happened in our world that does not be recognized as sin. For example, what makes a little person put poison on playground equipment? Can I tell you tonight, the Lord can fix the sin problem? How does He fix, how does the Lord fix the sin problem? By the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. How does the Lord fix the sin problem? Hey, by His blood. Why do you think he condescended down from glory far, hung himself on an old rugged cross, so sin could be taken care of through the blood? Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Look in verse number 5. The Bible said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the peace, and of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us. I like that, don't you? From our sins, by blood, with his own blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'll rush if you'll rush with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which you also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. By the blood, the Scripture says. How does the Lord deal with the sin problem? With his blood. You know what washed your sins away when you bowed at the cross? His blood. You know what took care of my sins that day when I, 40 years ago, when I bowed down and pleaded guilty to God as a sinner? Hey, his blood done it. You know what washed them sins away from these sinners yesterday here? His blood. You know what washed that sin away from that young man last night down in Grace Independent Baptist Church in Shingle House? The blood. How does God deal with the sin problem? By his blood. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins. Amen. Aren't you glad he didn't have any? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Can I tell you, he's going to deliver us one day from this present evil world. I like what's been said tonight. Here's one of my favorite verses. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. So how does the Lord then take care of the sin problem? By his blood. But wait a minute. How does the Lord take care of the sin problem? By his forgiveness. You see, when God saves us, our nature's not eradicated. I hate to tell you, you still have that same old desire. Same old thing down inside. The Holy Spirit living on the inside suppresses it and keeps it down. But if you take your eyes off the Lord, that old Adamic nature will jump up on top. If you're not careful, you'll do something contrary to the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God, and you get in trouble. But wait a minute. The Lord can fix it.
Amen.
Now, I know some people said we can't sin. Don't you take your Bible. Turn over here to 1 John with me. Look in chapter 1. I want you to see for yourself. Look in verse 8. Now remember, the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John is written to Christians. Written to believers. Written to the body of Christ. Look at what he said in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He's not talking to the unregenerate. He's not talking to those who have never been washed in the blood. He's talking to you and me. And when we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Boy, I wish we could say we didn't have any, don't you? I don't mean I'm like Paul. But when he said, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. Amen? What am I trying to say to you tonight? How does he take care of our sin problem? By forgiveness. I read verse 8, now look in verse 9. He starts that out with that great conditional word, if. If we confess our sins, he doesn't use a conditional word now. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Aren't you glad the Lord can fix it for us?
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Now let me clarify some things about this fixing it. The Lord doesn't fix somebody's sin when they go to the altar and say, Lord, fix it, and get up with the desire to do the same thing. That verse 8 and verse 9, especially verse 9, has a connotation that you're under heavy Holy Ghost conviction, just like you were the night that God convicted you about being saved and lost, and you got saved. Hey, that's the same connotation he has here, that you have the idea of going down that altar, forsaking and walking away from that sin, never to do it again. He said, we confess it.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not going to do like Brother Burdick. I'm not going to throw out any Hebrew words and Greek words. I can't even speak good English. Amen. We had last night in the church, yesterday morning in the church, a guy studying Arabic language. Yeah, how about that? I guess he's going over there where they speak it. I don't know anybody in this country. Well, down in Georgia. That speaks that. I told where we'll be next week over at Brother McClintock, his church. I said to him, Brother McClintock, we don't have any McClintocks down in Georgia. We just have Joneses and Pollards and Smiths and Foots. But wait a minute, how can the Lord take care of our sin problem? First of all, by his blood. And then after we're saved, how does he take care of our sin problem? By forgiveness. Did you know there's not anything that the Lord can't fix? Without him, we can do nothing. And he can do all things. Did you know something tonight? There are absolutely no impossibilities with the Lord. But just because you ask him to do it and he doesn't do it, doesn't mean he's not able to do it. It just means he's choosing not to do it at that time. You know why? Because he knows what's best for us. So the Lord can fix it. How can he fix the sin problem? Through his blood, through his forgiveness. How many of you are saved tonight? Hold up your hand. How many of you know you're saved going to heaven? Aren't you glad he fixed it?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir.
Can you say like the psalmist said? Brother O, we can all say, my heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. I may be broken in a lot of places, but my heart's fixed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Lord can fix the sin problem. But I want you to notice the second thing tonight, if you would, with me. I want to say that the Lord can fix the suffering problem. Now, the word suffer is found 96 times in the Bible. Don't worry. The word suffered is found 50 times in the Bible. And the word suffering is found 5 times in the Bible. And I think one of the great examples we have is back over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look in verse 7. Great aged saint of God by the name of Paul had an affliction, had a suffering problem. He said in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. I thought about that. What was he talking about? Through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. I believe Paul may have been talking about when he was called up into the third heavens. And God revealed some things to him that God wouldn't let him talk about it. And God put a thorn in his flesh. Notice what he said in verse 7. He said, they were giving me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Well, how did the Lord fix the sin or suffering problem? How does he fix your suffering problem? He say, first of all, by grace. Some years ago, I was preaching a meeting over in the state of Virginia. And the preacher said to me after I got through preaching Sunday morning, we're going over at the so-and-so's house to eat dinner today. I said, isn't that the family that's got the bedridden daughter, and invalid daughter, grown daughter, invalid? He said, yes. I said, that lady can cook. I said, she's such a good cook, I believe she could cook dirt and make it taste good. Of course, I've eaten some food that tastes like that. No, I'm sorry. And so we started riding over there. And the preacher said to me, Brother Pollard, and he called that young girl's name. He said, she wants to ask you a question. I said, okay. And we rode on a little while longer. And he says, it's a difficult question. I said, has she asked you the question? Because I want to know how he knew it was difficult. And he said, yes, sir, she's asked me the question. I said, okay. Wrote on a little bit longer, and I said to him, what is the question? Brother Maynard, he said to me, she told me not to tell you. I said, it's that difficult? He said, yeah, pretty difficult. So we rode on a little bit further. And I got some of Simon Peter in me. And I said to him, preacher, if somebody asked me a question that was difficult and was going to ask you that same question, I believe I would tell you what the question was. Or you could be thinking about it. I wasn't really thinking about him. I was thinking about me, buddy. He said, nope, not going to tell you. So we got into the home that Sunday. I walked into the room where she was at and spoke to her and talked to her, hoping she would go ahead and ask me the question why I could enjoy my meal. She said, just wouldn't say a thing about the question. Finally, the mother said, the food's on the table. Come on, Brother Pollard, you sit here, and the pastor and his wife sat down. So we ate, couldn't enjoy all that. Had roast beef and ham and, oh, Lord, every kind of trimming in the world. And I ate the best I could. So we sat around and talked, and nothing happened. Pastor said, I guess we better be thinking about going. I said, hallelujah, I got out of that question. Got my coat, got up and put it on. We walked to the door, and I thanked them for the good meal, and I heard that little voice say, Brother Pollard. I looked at the preacher, and he just smiled. I wanted to hit him. So I walked back in that room, and I said, yeah. She said, may I ask you something? For the first time, I wanted to say no. But I said, yes, ma'am, go ahead. she said, you know, I can't get up out of my bed. I can't bathe myself. I can't feed myself. I can't do anything for myself. Said my mom and daddy can't go to church at the same time. They can't go shopping at the same time. They can't do anything together. One of them has to go and the other one has to stay here with me. Said I'm so tired of all that. Said I've been praying and asking God to take my life. And why won't God hear my prayers? That's hard.
Yes.
Said, why won't God? And she was just a-crying. Why won't God, Brother Pollard, answer my prayer? And I happened to look on the table beside her bed, the end table.
Yeah.
And there was a notebook with names. And mine was at the top. And I said to her,
yes, sir.
What is that book there?
Yep.
She said, oh, Brother Pollard, some years ago, I was reading in the Bible.
Yes.
I read where old Daniel prayed 3 times a day.
Oh, yes.
He said, I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. So I started thinking about the men of God that I need to pray for. He said, you came up first. I said, that's because I needed the most.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, she had pages of names. And she said, I pray for him, Brother Pollard, at least 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And I said to her, why in the world would you think God would answer your prayers and take you home when prayerless like that with a prayer warrior like you are, and Satan after us all the time, God using you mightily. I pray to God he won't take your life. And she said to me, you really think this is a big thing with God? I said, it's more than I can say.
Yes, sir.
Before I left her, she had a little smile on her face.
Amen.
And she said, Brother Pollard, I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you think you could get by here one more day before you leave, go back to Georgia, and pray with me? I said, yes, ma'am.
Amen.
So we went by there one day, the preacher and I said to her, I got down beside her little old bed on my knees, and I said, now, sis, I don't have time to go through all this book with you. I said, but let's just lay it over here. I'll put my hand on this half, and you put your hand on that half, and let our hands just touch. And the Lord took a little old lady that week, was broke, that was praying to die, that needed to be fixed. And the Lord fixed it for her that week.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
She hadn't been long that she passed away. But every so often, I would call her. And she'd say to me, I just got through praying for you.
Amen.
Y'all listen to me tonight.
Yeah.
How does the Lord fix the suffering problem? By grace.
Amen.
Paul said there was a thorn given to me in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. I noticed some things. Look down here in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's sufficient enough, isn't it? Paul had a problem. Paul had something he was suffering over. Look back in verse 7. I want to help you with this verse for a minute, if I may. Look about this thorn in the flesh. I want you to notice, first of all, it was personal. He said it was given to me. Do you know something tonight? There's going to be some things that come down the path of life to you that you have no control over. It'll just be given to you. That little old girl I was talking about, she was just born that way. It was given to her. She didn't do anything wrong to get it. It was just given. Some of you live in pain every minute of that given to you. And I'm aware that some of us have pain because of some dumb things we done when we were younger. The stupid acts we commit now. There's going to be something come down your path that's just given to you. Amen. Notice something else about verse 7. He said, "That was given unto me." It was physical suffering. He said, in the flesh. Now, I know sometimes we act like we're spiritually hurting, but there's going to be some flesh, some physical suffering that we have to go through. Paul said that in the flesh. Not only that, it was painful. It was a thorn. I'm glad God didn't reveal what he gave to Paul. I'm glad he didn't show what that thorn was. There'd be so many Baptist preachers and other kind of preachers walking around acting like they had what Paul got. Amen. It was used to persecute. He said, Satan to buffet me. It was prayed over. 3 times he sought the Lord. It was permanent. It never left him. That thorn in the flesh for Paul, it never ran off. It ran with him every step he ever took. It was provided for by grace. I like it, don't you?
Yes, sir.
How does the Lord fix the suffering problem? By grace. Did you know something tonight? It doesn't matter what you may be suffering. If you go to God with it and turn it over to God, he by grace will make it livable for you. According to the word of God. Well, let me give you one more. The Lord not only can fix the sin problem, suffering problem, but the Lord can fix the sad problem. Look in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, Brother Burdick, I sure do thank you for my little Bible. I have enjoyed that thing. Got it read. Every Bible ought to be read. I'm talking about R-E-A-D. In Luke 24:17, and he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" How does the Lord fix the sad problem? By giving bread. Amen. I thought about a little lady down in Moab by the name of Naomi, which means a pleasant one, which means a fair countenance one, which means a joyful person, Naomi. But she was down in the land of Moab and sad. You know why she was sad? She left Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, because of a famine being in Bethlehem, Judah. You know something tonight? I've seen a lot of people leave the church because they think they're in a famine state and get into Moab. And the very same thing happens to them that happened to Naomi. They get out of there and spiritually die. Naomi down in Moab, sad. Why? Her husband Elimelech had died. Her 2 sons had died. She was sad. One day a stranger was coming through Moab, coming from Bethlehem, Judah. And he said, "The Lord is blessing Bethlehem, Judah again. The Lord giving bread in Bethlehem, Judah." And Naomi, as sad as she was, says, Think I'll go back to Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. Started up that winding trail and got to the gate. And the men of the gate said, "Is that Naomi? Is that the fair countenance one? Is that the joyful person? Is that the pleasant one?" Because of all the sadness and the tragedy that had happened, she said, "Don't call me Naomi." Why? She was sad. She'd gotten out of the will of God and lost her husband and 2 children. And she said to those men at the gate, "Call me Mara," which means bitter. She said, "I'm no longer joyful." Now remember, she left Bethlehem, Judah, because of a famine. She said to them, "I went out full, and I'm coming back empty." Look at me. I promise you tonight, if you get out of the will of God and quit serving God like you're serving God, you get down to Moab, I promise you something, if you ever get back, you'll be back empty. But the Lord fixed the problem. What did he do? He gave her bread. You remember the prodigal son? Went to his dad and said to his dad, "Father, give me the portion of dirt that falleth to me." That was terrible for that boy to do that. If you study any of the customs of the Bible, and that was not supposed to happen until dad's death. And what that young man was saying to his dad, "Dad, I wish you was dead before I could get everything that belongs to me." The Bible said he divided the portion unto them. And he went out and wasted it on riotous living. Down in the hog pen, he was sad. And the Bible said he came to himself. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, there's so many out there in the hog pen hadn't come to themselves. And he went home. And the Lord gave him bread at his father's house. Amen. They killed a fatted calf, but you remember, they were having a shindig. Rejoicing. The son had come home. Now, I'm talking about the prodigal, but I want to inject his brother. Come here, older boy. And he comes over here. Wouldn't go in. Party's going on. I've often wondered, why does people sit out in there in the Sunday school hour in the foyer instead of going in?
Yeah, that's good.
It always bothers me.
Yeah, me too.
You always got groups out there doing something. And classes going on in everywhere else. Always bothers me when people go outside during the preaching. Won't come in.
Yeah.
But let me show you something about that elder brother. Remember, the younger said, "Dad, I wish you were dead." That's what he was saying. In essence, if you study it out the Bible, the custom of Bible days, the elder said to his dad in a hateful attitude, "I've served y'all this time. You've never killed a fatted calf for me." In essence, he does the identical thing to his dad as the younger son had done. But his father fixed both of them.
Yep.
You know something tonight? The Lord can fix it.
Right.
He gave Naomi bread. He gave the prodigal and the prodigal's brother bread. And then I thought about them two walking on the Emmaus road. They just received a Messiah. Now he's crucified. And they're sad. They don't know what to do. And they're walking on the mess road, and Jesus showed up and gave them some bread.
Yes.
Y'all listen to me tonight. God can fix your sad problem. Sure, get in the bread book. Can I tell you something tonight? This is a covered of bread. Can I tell you something tonight? There's bread on every page. If you can digest it. I thought about the Lord giving bread to those. I'm surprised that the people in the house of God oftentimes pushes the bread away from the table. You ever heard something like this? I don't know if I believe it just like that preacher said it. Huh? You know what you just done? Threw that bread away. The Lord can fix the problem. The Lord can fix it. When the Lord took that high priest servant's ear that Simon Peter had smote with a sword and fixed it. Do you know something tonight? He can fix your ear that's been cut off. If the Lord can make the camel go through the eye of a needle, but he can do anything for us. You got a problem that needs to be fixed? You got a sin problem that needs to be fixed? That is a well of grace if you'll come to him. You got a suffering problem you can't get over? The Lord can fix it. If you got a sad problem, the Lord can fix it. I see some people who bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you, they act like that's the saddest, pathetic. I say, sometimes when I look at some people, Lord, don't give me what they got.
Amen.
I'm glad he fixed me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Can I tell you something tonight? I'd be in the deepest part of hell if the Lord hadn't fixed me. Yeah. You know tonight, if the Lord hadn't fixed me and didn't put me in hell, I'd be all broken to pieces. My wife and I were sitting in a restaurant in Rome eating, going on our 50th wedding anniversary. She said, honey, you're always in Kentucky in a camp meeting on our anniversary day. She said, I don't remember you ever being home on our anniversary since you've been preaching. That's 39 years ago. That when I was pastoring, you know. And she said, let's do something special this year on our 50th wedding anniversary. I said, all right, what do you want to do? She said, well, I said, remember two things, honey. She said, what? I said, I don't fly and I don't float. Well, I've had enough flying. I made 27 jumps when I was in the paratrooper, so I don't want to fly no more. And I've been overseas on them ships. And when they go down and when they come up, I had enough of that. And she said, well, there's nothing left to do. I said, oh, yeah. She said, what? What can we do? I said, we can drive over to the golf capital of South Carolina at Myrtle Beach. And then we can go down to the Hilton Head. And we can play golf. She doesn't play. I said, but honey, the Lord's fixing our problem. I said, but honey, the old kind of outlet store's there. She left the shop. Of course, what woman done? Oh. And I said, you know what you can do? You can drop me off in good shop, and I'll call you when I get through. I fit at the wedding anniversary. And that's what we done. He fixed our problem. And I promise you, if I live and we're married 60 years, I'm going to either fly with her somewhere or I'm going to float with her somewhere. Now, if I want her to know that, I'll tell her. But have no fear, Brother Foots here. Listen to me. And all jokes aside now, doesn't matter what we're encountering, the Lord can fix it. I don't know what your difficulties are. I don't know if it's a sin problem. If it's a sin of unbelief, God will take care of it by His blood if you come to Him. If sin, after you've been saved, God will take care of it by His forgiveness if you'll come and confess. And if it's a suffering problem, He may do you like He did Paul. He may not remove that thorn. But I'll tell you what He can do. He can make it bearable in grace. If you're sad tonight, why don't you come and ask Him to fix your sad problem? Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed, eyes closed, knowing that the Lord can fix it. How many will be honest tonight and say to me, preacher, thank God I've been fixed. My heart is fixed. Would you hold up your hand? My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Thank you. God bless you. You can put them down. How many of you would say, preacher, I really need revival in my heart. I need some help from the Lord. The Lord needs to fix me and revive. I need some help. Would you slip up that hand? God bless you. God bless you. Would you slip on out and come to the altar tonight? Would you? Would you just make your way on down here? We're gonna have a stanza of invitation. But why don't you come and ask the Lord to fix it? He can fix it if you'd let Him fix it tonight. Would you come? Come on, mind God tonight. Just obey Him. Let the Lord fix it. Our Father, we thank You in Jesus' name for Your mighty grace. Thank You for what You've done here tonight in the first message this afternoon. Now tonight, Lord, have Your divine way. Speak to every heart. Brother Foot comes, God, I pray You'll give him wisdom on what to do. In Jesus' name, amen.